Hi, I'm Mike Webb, and welcome to the ProPublica podcast. If you're a regular visitor to our site, you've probably noticed that we've published a series of stories about patient safety issues. Instead of being one big deep dive investigation, the stories have been shorter, advisory-like posts or call-outs for information. Have no fear, we haven't given up on our major healthcare investigations, but we're taking a slightly different approach on our patient safety project. Joining us here in the Storage Closet studio are reporters Marshall Allen and Olga Pierce, and Blair Hickman, who is a social media producer for ProPublica and is managing the patient safety community we've built around the project. They're going to clue you in to what we're doing. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
All right, Marshall, let's start with you. Before you joined ProPublica, you and a team of reporters from the Las Vegas Sun worked on a major investigation titled Do No Harm, Hospital Care in Las Vegas, for which you won a Goldsmith Prize for investigative journalism and finished as a finalist for the Pulitzer Prize for local reporting. Is that where your interest in patient safety issues began?
Yeah, it actually started before that. I've been writing about healthcare since 2006 and originally at the Las Vegas Sun. And as soon as I started writing about it, I pretty quickly came to realize that there are huge numbers, unfortunately, of patients who go into the hospital or a nursing home expecting to get high quality care and unfortunately become the victims of really bad care and harm. And this happens hundreds of thousands of times a year, according to a lot of different studies that have been done. And you talk to healthcare experts and they all agree it's a major problem. And so this is just always been something that's been obvious to me. It's a really important thing to report on.
And Olga, you've been writing about politics and foreclosure and unemployment insurance issues. How did you get roped into this?
Well, to me, kind of the common thread in a lot of things I've written about in the past is that they're sort of centered around dramatic events in the lives of people, being in danger of losing your home, losing your job. And I think that those types of stories really lend themselves to a different approach to speaking with people, involving people. Because it's such a large part of people's lives, they're also much more willing to participate because it has a really strong interest for them personally. And so to me, this project kind of fit in with that. And I really wanted to work on a project again where we opened the doors and said, okay, if we throw out the old journalism playbooks and really think about what are the new possibilities for reporting this type of story, what can we do? And so far, I think that it's really paid off.
Which leads perfectly to Blair, because with you focusing on social media stuff, how did you get involved?
Marshall has always, as I understand it, had an idea that he wanted a pretty strong social component to this investigation. And my team's role is primarily to figure out how to engage readers in ProPublica's reporting. So that means we work across a range of investigations. And Marshall already had a strong feeling for this community and knew that a social aspect would probably succeed. So we just said, let's kick it off. There was thought process behind it, but it was more, this would really resonate with this group. So let's give them a space to talk about this issue and connect with each other and learn. So I started in May on the project.
Okay. Well, why don't we explain what kind of approach that we're taking with this? We've essentially inverted the investigative process, haven't we?
Yeah, part of this builds on what maybe Olga, you could talk about some of the things you've done with your other projects involving some of these methods, because we're really standing on the shoulders of some things that ProPublica has done in the past, and then we're kind of building on that. But Olga can maybe talk about that a little bit.
I think a lot of the idea is, you know, sort of the old school way that things work a lot of the time is that you do all of your research, do all of your reporting, and then you need someone's story to sort of glue your narrative together, but you end up looking for that person towards the end of your reporting process. And I think that our idea here is to start getting all that input from people toward the beginning of the process and let it inform our reporting, let what they have to say almost be part of the story, and philosophically, to let people participate in a different way. I mean, it also happens sometimes that you think you know what happens, and then you speak with people, and you learn that it's not exactly that way. And I think that it's a smarter way to do it, to just start listening early in the process.
How can people share their stories with ProPublica?
Well, there are three ways. One is we have our patient harm questionnaire, and this is for patients or their family members who have been harmed while undergoing medical care. That questionnaire is on our website, and so we encourage people to go there, complete it. It's a little lengthy, but we just ask people to do the best they can, and it's all confidential unless they give us permission to share it with other journalists or other researchers who have also taken interest in the data. We also have our provider questionnaire, and this is for anybody who's ever worked in any aspect of healthcare who's willing to sort of like opt in terms of being a source for us and somebody we can go to for advice. That's also on our website. And then the third one is really, I think, the most sort of daring of them. And this is something we just started to ask for providers to share their story of being involved in a medical mistake. So a mistake that they were actually involved in. And what we're trying to find out is, what was it that happened and what were the circumstances that led up to that mistake and how did it affect the provider? And that, again, is information that I think is really valuable that I don't think anyone else is gathering that we hope providers will share with us.
Right. And it's probably something the hospital or the doctor could use to take steps to prevent themselves from.
Yeah, that's the idea, is that if we can get enough of these stories and see what types of circumstances have played into these mistakes happening, then those are trends that we can write about and highlight to bring about improvement.
One other way for people to get involved is, I would say we're launching a couple more initiatives within the next couple of weeks. And the easiest way right now for people to stay up to date with what's going on is to join the Facebook group, because everything gets posted in there. And they can also go to the patient safety page on ProPublica.org. But we'll be launching several more of these discussions. So
Blair, what did we actually do?
There are several social components to this particular investigation. We have a Facebook group. It's called ProPublica's Patient Harm Community. I think it's up to about 1,700, 1,500 members.
Almost 1,500
members. It's a combination of providers, patients, journalists, all connecting about patient harm and sharing resources and learning. And it's also a place for us to dip in when we have broader questions. So we have that. We also have a community page on site where we archive some of the great stuff that's coming out of the Facebook group. We have Q&As with other journalists that are doing this. And that's also where we host a lot of our provider-focused efforts. We learned through doing this that the patient community and the provider community are two different groups, and you kind of have to talk to them in different ways.
They both have very different perspectives on.
Exactly. Yeah. So we posted a series of provider discussions on site. Sometimes we go off and use other tools, but we always try to pull it back to ProPublica.
So like a chat where anyone can sort of ask the providers questions?
Yep. We've tried a few different formats. We tried this tool called Branch, which is a new Twitter-based forum for having discussions. And we've also hosted a couple of panels on site. And then the last two components of this investigation are our provider and patient questionnaires, which for us are really the anchor and the keystone of our sourcing efforts. There are two Google Forms that people can go to and answer a series of detailed questions that then goes into a spreadsheet that only we can see. But it becomes structured data that's easier for us to search for specific keywords in people.
Okay. So we built this community. Are people talking to each other, or what's happening?
Yeah, one thing that was really interesting about the Facebook group was looking at it as something that is valuable in and of itself, not just as a tool for something that we're trying to use to get sources or ideas or things that we should write about. So we talk to scores of people who call us or email us and tell us about the way they've been harmed and the things that they've suffered. And it just became very clear to us that we can't possibly keep up with all of these people on our own. It would be impossible. And so with the Facebook group, it allows these people to connect with one another and share experiences with one another, share their stories, comfort one another, encourage one another, and also like help people with what do you do now, or what do you do if you're suffering this type of thing, or who do you complain to if you need to file a complaint. It's sort of recognizing the fact that the Facebook group is a valuable project in and of itself, even if we never get anything from it on our end. That's not to say we haven't gotten a lot from it, because we have, but that's sort of a unique thing to create that so other people can benefit from it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. So other journalists can actively participate as well and use the people in that community.
Yeah, they do. And so, and even with the questionnaire, so we've had, I think, about 285 people complete our questionnaire, which is a pretty thorough questionnaire to really get more stratified data about each of these stories so you can look for trends. Like, for instance, we ask people whether the harm was acknowledged or whether they got an apology for it or whether they were billed for it. And so you can get sort of interesting information when it goes into a spreadsheet and you can look at all 285 cases together. But those are also stories that we, some of them we're following up on ourselves, some of them we're sharing with other journalists. So we've had journalists contact us from other states or who have been interested in this topic, and then we can connect them with, of course, with the patient's permission, we can connect them with a patient in their community that hopefully they can write about.
I'm a little surprised that providers have joined the community. Are they actually sharing stories? Wouldn't they be a little afraid of lawsuits or admitting that malpractice may have happened?
I mean, they're definitely a much quieter crew, but I think that's one of our goals, and it's something that, and Marshall can elaborate on this a little bit more, but providers are starting to speak out more about this particular issue, and so I think we're in a unique position to give them a platform to do this. And I would say that over the life of the Facebook group, we've seen more providers speaking up and joining in the conversation, and I'm not sure if some of that is organic. Some of it might be the result of us constantly poking in and saying, hey, respect all sides of the issue here. Everybody gets a voice. Yeah, they're definitely speaking up.
You know, by and large, I mean, providers really do care about patient safety, too. And most doctors and nurses got into healthcare because they really care about people and want to help people. And sometimes when things go wrong, it's not necessarily because somebody was malicious or intended for someone to get hurt. It can be a lot of factors can contribute to those problems. So providers have been really generally almost entirely positive about what we're doing, and they recognize this is a huge problem and really want to help us. And so with that provider questionnaire, we've got doctors, nurses, hospital executives, attorneys, all types of different providers have been willing to help us.
Olga, are you at all worried that someone might join the group to give us misinformation?
I'll let Blair talk about this a little bit more. Anytime you allow people to participate and comment, there's a possibility that someone is a complete psychopath or that the person commenting on your story about Chuck Hagel is actually Chuck Hagel, you know, writing as John Smith or something like that. But if we use an example in a story, we vet it the same way we would vet something traditionally. In the Facebook group, there's a certain amount of pre-vetting because you're posting as yourself using your own Facebook profile. So that provides an additional barrier to your fake patient harm victim.
And you're vetting all these people. You're checking the stories. You're verifying everything, right?
The stuff that goes on ProPublica gets a higher level of verification. The stuff in the Facebook group, it would be literally impossible for us to check all of those stories. But one of the advantages of using Facebook, like Olga said, is that it's connected to people's actual profiles. And people are also posting repeatedly, so you almost get to know these people, and it's pretty clear when someone is a troll or when it's a fake account. And in those cases, we've had a couple of those and we've kicked them out.
And why did we decide to do so many shorter posts, like pieces on how to stay safe in a hospital or how doctors feel after making a medical mistake? Why keep the shorter stories?
I think some of that is just the benefit of our past experience. I think it started almost unintentionally. We'd have reporters who were sort of working a beat like foreclosure, who wrote stories about foreclosure all the time. And we found that they were sort of unintentionally building a community. There were people who would read all of their stories and blog about them and comment on them. And it would just sort of snowball over time. So all of a sudden, you've kind of built your own audience, you've built your own community. And I think part of what we're trying to do here is do that on purpose this time and do it thoughtfully and think about, are there things we can do from the outset that will benefit us later on? And every time we write a post that isn't maybe the meatiest investigation, but is still useful to people, it brings more people into our fold. And that will only benefit us in the future.
And you guys, I can ask, are we working on a deeper dive that's going to come from this?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, we've been working on something for quite a while. I mean, we can't go into detail about it right now, but all of this is hopefully building toward the launch of bigger stories. But it was almost like, you know, typically when you're working on these things, you don't put a lot of things out there. But we're doing something patient safety related. It's a pretty broad topic. And so usually, you know, with investigative reporting, you have to be so secretive about what you're working on. And we still are to a certain degree. But at the same time, there's a lot that we can do in this area to build interest in it and also help influence our reporting and inform it.
And what's the overall goal? What are we trying to achieve? Why is this a ProPublica project?
ProPublica's mission is to bring the moral force of investigative reporting to bear on a particular topic to bring about change. And so our ultimate goal is to do just that, is to bring about change and to change the status quo in healthcare, which is right now too many people are being harmed and not enough is being done about it. And I think pretty much everyone agrees with that. We're trying to find ways by shining the spotlight of investigative reporting on it to change the status quo.
I would say also one thing we've learned from people in our Facebook group, and we sort of suspected this already, many of these people are not given any support after something terrible and life-changing happens to them, and they think they're alone and they don't know what to do and no one is willing to help them. And bringing people together is also a side effect of all these things we've been doing that I think actually is very powerful as well.
It's a relief for them to sort of get their stories out and know.
And not only about sharing stories, but they're literally being as active as starting petitions and starting groups and having their own discussions that will supplement, you know, we're shining a light on a problem and they're tackling a different piece of it. So going back to what Marshall said, it has its own intrinsic value.
Okay, everybody, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Okay, that was Olga Pierce, Blair Hickman, and Marshall Allen. If you would like to join the patient harm community or see their work so far, go to propublica.org/series/patient-safety. Thanks for listening. This podcast was produced by Minhee Cho. For ProPublica, I'm Mike Webb. We'll catch you next time.